Ephesians 6, verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In our last study, we saw that Paul's primary emphasis in our text is not necessarily on the going with the gospel of peace, but standing with the gospel of peace. Paul is not talking about necessarily sharing the gospel in the text. He's talking about fighting Satan with the gospel. The gospel of peace refers to the glorious news that through our relationship with Jesus Christ, we are at peace with God. It wasn't always that way. Before we were saved, we were the enemies of God. In Romans 5, verse 6, it speaks of our relationship beforehand. Before we were saved, Romans 5, verse 6. We're going to look at Romans 5, verses 6 through 10. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You talk about the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace that when you were without strength, you were ungodly, you were still a sinner, you were an enemy of God, you were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. At that time, that was your condition. And having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We shall be saved from wrath through him. That, brothers and sisters, is the gospel. When God saved us, he reconciled us to himself. And when he did, he declared us to be at peace with him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Now in Jesus, the saints of God are at peace with God. In Colossians 1:21 and 22, it says, in you, that was sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. The gospel of peace. The gospel of peace that Paul refers to in our text is the marvelous news that in Christ we're at peace with God. To know that things are right between you and God. What a blessing. What a peace comes over you. The troubled waters of your conscience settle down and they become calm. When the soul realizes it is at peace with Almighty God, the war with God is over. It's the glorious truth that we've been made one with the Lord Jesus Christ. So having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace means that we stand in the absolute confidence that God loves us, that he has forgiven us, that we're united with him, that he fights for us, and that all is well with our souls. It is the confidence that we are saved. It is the confidence that we shall be saved from wrath. And when we have that confidence, and when we possess the peace of God in our hearts, we are ready to stand against any enemy that comes against us. The gospel of the peace of God that comes over you. The peace of God. Let us look at a few places of people that trusted in what the Lord had said. They had confidence in what God said. The children of Israel in Judges 6, they're under the leadership of Gideon. They witnessed the Lord reduce the size of their army from 32,000 to 300. Those 300 men placed their confidence in the Lord and followed him into battle. They saw the Lord defeat an immense Midianite army without the use of a single weapon. All those men did was break the clay jars, allowing a lamp there inside to shine, blow a trumpet, and cry, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Their faith in the Lord's promise gave them confidence to stand. They believed God and what he said. The gospel of peace believes God and what he says. You hear the truths of the gospel proclaimed and you have confidence. You have confidence. In 2 Chronicles 20, the people of Judah, they're about to be invaded by the powerful armies of the Ammonites and the Moabites. They're afraid. But the Lord spoke to King Jehoshaphat and said, "Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." And God goes on to give them the victory. They simply believed in the God that made the promise. They had confidence in the promise of God. And we are to have confidence in the promise of God in the gospel of peace. That God has reconciled you to himself. Now, by faith, you simply believe that. The children of God experience great victory when they take God at his word and stand in confidence in him. We have confidence because of what Christ has done and what the scripture says has been accomplished for us. Now we simply stand in that. We simply believe that. The redeemed child of God who stands in the Lord's power and in full assurance of the Lord's salvation does not have to fear any enemy. That was my point over in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, with the two stories I told you about Gideon and about Jehoshaphat. They had confidence in the promises of God. Our confidence in the day of battle does not rest in our own power, but in the promises of God. In the promises of God. We stand in the Lord's power, full assurance of the Lord's salvation, even if the enemy that comes against us is Satan himself. And when we're attacked, we stand on the firm, unchanging ground of the gospel of peace and grace and mercy. The same gospel that converted us from sinners into saints, the same gospel that changed God from our enemy into our protector. We who were on the outside are now the sons of God. Now he's our heavenly Father who once was our judge. He's our Father now. We're his children. Everything we need to do is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might is at our disposal. What's it tell us in Ephesians 6, verse 10? Finally, my brethren, brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now you stand firm in that. You stand, you shod your feet with the gospel of peace. You believe the promises. You believe Romans 8, verses 31 to 39. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. Do you see, brothers and sisters, the gospel of peace there? Who's going to bring a charge to God's elect? It is God that justifies. That's why you can have peace. You can have peace in the promises that God has made. It brings great joy, this peace. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who shall bring a charge? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril or sword? Aye, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, and brothers and sisters, are you persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, including yourself, for you are a created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now the soldier of God stands firm in that gospel. He knows it, she knows it, and we stand firm. Our feet are shod, the boots are in the ground. The boots are in the ground, the spikes stick down deep into the dirt, and they're not moved. They stand. Come hell or high water, the wind's blowing, the wind's whipping, the trials, the tribulations, the attacks, the assaults. The soldier of God stands firm, does not move, is not swayed by different winds of doctrine, tossed to and fro. No, for their feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And those promises, those truths, are the shoes that give us the ability to stand in the evil day. The truth that we're loved by the Lord gives us the confidence to stand. The truth that we're saved by grace gives us the confidence to stand. The truth that we are His chosen gives us the confidence to stand. The truth that we are in His tender care and that He has promised to stand with us, to protect us, to keep us, to defend us, gives us confidence to stand. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, gives us confidence to stand. So the question is, are you standing? Do you have absolute confidence in your heart that God has saved your soul, forgiven your sins, adopted you into His family? And if you have that kind of confidence, brothers and sisters, you can stand regardless of what the enemy throws at you. And if you don't have that deep self-confidence in your heart, you'll be unstable in all your battles. Unless you are grounded in absolute assurance of salvation, the enemy will have little trouble knocking you off your feet. That's why John writes in 1 John 5, I have written you these things in order that you would know that you have eternal life. Brothers and sisters, it's so important to get this truth deep down in your soul, to believe it, to stand firm on it, having put on the gospel of peace, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You need that confidence, brothers and sisters. You need to know Him. You need to know Him and what He has promised you. You need to stand in His power. You need to be stable, strong, sure. You need to have this ability that you need to stand, to withstand the battle that's raging around you today. What shoes do you have on today? Do you have these shoes? The gospel of peace, the boots of peace, the gospel of peace, is that what you have your feet shod with? Or do you have some flip-flops on? And every wind of doctrine is tossing you about, tossing you to and fro. You believe this today, you believe the other thing tomorrow. You're saved today, you're lost tomorrow. Doesn't work that way, brothers and sisters. He whom God has saved, He has saved to the uttermost. He gives you eternal life. Eternal means eternal. If you're a child of God now, you'll always be a child of God. You have peace now with God. What shall separate us from the love of God? Shall anything? What shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Not outside of Christ. He loves you because of Christ and Christ alone. And my friend, if you're listening today and if you've never come to Jesus Christ for salvation, if you never felt the weight of your sins, as I read earlier in the text in Romans, enemies without strength, powerless. That's our condition outside of Christ. But the gospel of peace says, yes, you are, it is true you are a sinner, but yes, you can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. You can know this peace that we're talking about. Come to Christ today, repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we, brothers and sisters, have peace with God.